Well, blessings to all of you today. I'm so thankful that we can get recharged today. I know oftentimes we come to church saying, what can we get or what can we receive? But really, church is about giving. It's giving praise. It's giving adoration. It's about helping each other, assisting each other through the messiness of this life, through the brokenness of it all. God comes through. Sometimes we have to hold on to that. Sometimes we don't see that oftentimes, at least in the timely fashion that we think, but He's always there for us. And I'm saying so thankful that each one of us can be a blessing to each other in the name that is above all others. I think about some of the things that some of you have voiced to me in recent days and weeks. A lot of things that have happened in 2020 I was not expecting, and some of the storms that we go through in this life. But I know that He is with us every step of the way. Some storms can be a little intimidating. I remember several months ago in Belleville, there was a thunderstorm. I think it was in like the late spring, early summer. And it was almost like rattling like the windows. You know what I'm talking about? Like ooh, you know? And you can almost feel like the electricity, like whenever it starts to strike, you're like, ooh. And of course, it wakes up the kids and different things. Like, what is going on? You know? And it can be a little intimidating, and so it is with life. As we go through storms, it can make us a little bit fearful. But also remember this, it could be worse in life. There's always people that go through more challenging things than what we do. But also I know this, by faith, things are going to get better too. Remain strong in your faith. After all, life's roughest storms really prove the strength of our anchor, who is Jesus Christ. Focus, and this is so important, folks, and it's for somebody here today because I've been feeling this for now some time. Focus on only what you can do, not on the things that you can't. The clouds and the storms, they will eventually pass, and the sun will return. This last past week, the sun hasn't come out a lot, at least you can see it. But I'm also aware that the S-O-N will become more apparent in our journey. And it's during those storms that He becomes ever-present with us. And don't forfeit that. Stay close to Him. As we have begun 2020, we have considered having visions. And what does your vision look like in 2020? And today we're going to concentrate on having 2020 vision. And having vision for your family is really important, but also having a vision for your church family as well. And so we're going to take a look a little bit in detail throughout the next couple of weeks, what it looks like of having a vision for our church. Now, we're not just talking about a building, okay? This is a chapel. It's referred to as a chapel. What we're talking about is having and catching a glimpse, a vision of what God has for His bride. And for that to be captivating to us, and that it would drive us, and that would be our motivation, and that it would be our inspiration, not only today, but in the days and weeks ahead. It is important that we have a vision for our church family, that we look to increase its effectiveness in ministry, whether that's evangelism, whether it's outreach, whether it's discipleship, whether it's just walking along someone, that they're going through a tough time, and ministering to them in the name of Jesus. That we would look to increase in our scope. That we would not be just satisfied with the status quo or just be an average church. I don't know about you, I don't want to just be an average individual. We should be a person that strives for excellence. And even in our very core, even whenever we don't feel like going on, that God would give us that extra burst of joy and of peace amidst the storms that we go through in this life. I pray that God would give us a gigantic vision of what He would have you to do and to accomplish in community through the church. I'm reminded of a saying that I heard years ago, and I think it's so, we like to play it safe, don't we? Let's just be honest. How many people like to play it safe? Now, how many people don't like to fail? Raise your hand. Yeah, most of us are like, I don't want to fail. But sometimes we don't try then. And the saying goes something like this, try or attempt something so great for God that it is doomed for failure unless God intervenes. I'm like, I'm struggling with that. It's like, oh, I don't want to fail, but that gives God a great opportunity to work and to showcase His power in His presence. I think sometimes we aim too small. God wants us to go for those things which are big, almost what would seem out of reach for us, but nothing's outside of His reach. That we would look to increase our commitment to Him. And obviously that includes attendance and participation, giving and tithes and offering, all those things. But commitment is basically with our church family. I see it in today's generation. I'm really concerned for the church. Really concerned. We're committed to a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with sports and with hobbies and shopping and all these things. I saw someone running this morning and exercising. All those things are good within and of themselves, but a lot of times we forfeit the best things of this life whenever we don't honor God in our commitment to Him and to His bride. Do what you can, when you can, for the glory of God. I'm 45, going to be 46 this year. Yeah. Time gets away from you, folks. Let me just tell you. And I think about the time that now that I actually have left a lot more than the time that I had at the very beginning. Don't squander your time. Make an impact for Jesus while there's still time. So important. Young people, use your time to magnify God. Don't waste it on other things. You only get one life. That's it. Don't get redos. Make the most of it that you can, possibly for Jesus and for His cause. Oftentimes, I think that we lack vision, and especially when I'm talking about we, even as a church pastor, sometimes we lack vision. Whenever we lack vision, we can become lazy, selfish, self-centered. Sometimes then we actually can almost make the church about us. And really, the church isn't really about us. It's about following our Master, our Lord. It's not fulfilling what we want. And whenever we live for ourselves like that, we become very short-sighted, I feel. Several years ago, whenever I was in between ministries, my family and I had the opportunity to go to different states, Illinois, North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, all different places and visiting with different church families. And as we noticed, there was a trend that was kind of as we were going to different churches, and it just seemed like there was a lack of vision. There was a lack maybe of love. There was more of an apathetic. There was a political nature that was going into church families. And it just wasn't healthy, and it wasn't good to feel a part of that. I think there's a lot of different reasons why churches all across America, even across the world, but especially in America, that church families are closing their doors. I think it's, first of all, they're not connecting to God, and they're not getting a vision of what God wants to do in and through them to people that are in community all around us. See, vision for ministry is a reflection of what God wants us as His church to accomplish to build His kingdom. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 28. This is often a passage we use dealing with trying to make an impact and completing what God wants us to do in this life. And this is so important. There's obviously a lot of things that Jesus told us to do as His bride, as His church. But especially, I look at this as the closing, basically, statements before Jesus ascended to His Heavenly Father. So this was like one of the last things that He said, that He spoke, that was really, really important. For example, if someone on their deathbed, if they're telling us, they're giving us instruction, we're gleaning, we're holding on to their every word, and we're listening, and they're desperate to communicate to us why their person is in the right frame of mind. Now, Jesus wasn't dying, He was ascending, but He wanted to make sure that we fulfilled His commission. This is known as the Great Commission. And so in Matthew chapter 28, these three verses, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Notice, it's not necessarily, the enemy tries to twist that around and say basically this is His domain. Listen, heaven and earth are bought and paid for and created by Jesus Christ. There is no greater authority than Him. Listen, church family, today, whenever the boat starts to get a little rocky, that means that you're also doing something right, all right? Whenever it seems like the storms of life are increasing, it's like, woe is me, you want to have a pity party for yourself, We need to remember that we are blood bought, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that there is no greater calling into all the world than to serve Him. Jesus wanted us to be reminded of that, that there is no authority that is greater than Him. Therefore, because of this authority that is given to Christ, therefore go and make disciples, in other words, followers, learners of Him, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, I don't know if you noticed this today, but there's a lot of Trinity stuff going on today. Did you notice that today a little bit in our service? My wife was talking a little bit about what her Sunday school lesson was going to be, like with dealing with the Trinity. I'm like, this is so weird. Okay, what is going on? I just consider this like a God sighting. All right, all these things revealing of who He is. So we're identifying with Him as we have come to know Jesus Christ. We identify with His person and what He's trying to do with His plan. Notice in teaching them, that is His disciples, to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, and this is the peace that, of God, surely I am with you always to the end of the age, to the end of the world, to the end really of time. What a promise. So that's the Great Commission. That is basically, that is our bullseye, all right? Now, whenever you're trying to aim, whether we're in archery or dealing with guns, whenever you try to aim at different things, maybe for wildlife and different things of that nature, what are we trying to hit? The what? Well, that's right. We're trying to sit somewhere in this area, okay? But where is a really good part? What are we actually trying to hit? The bullseye, all right? Right there. We're trying to get as close to that as possible and to be accurate as possible. But sometimes we don't like to set even targets for ourselves because we're like, okay, man, it's too high. It's too challenging for us. But if we don't aim at anything, we're going to hit it every time, all right? And as a church family, God doesn't want us to miss the mark. And that's making an impact in our community. God expects much of us because much has been given to us. We have been blessed. We have been given so much. The country that we have, the families, the kids, the grandkids, all these things that we have in our lives. We have wealth. We have, most of us, our freezer is full. We're not concerned about what we're going to have for lunch. We have our health for the most part. We have all these things that are just given to us by the goodness and the glory of God. And yet oftentimes, we're not concerned for other people. I think that's one of the reasons why God told us these things. The reason why He told us, His disciples, these last things, so that we're not so consumed with us that we forget that there is a world, there is a community out there that is in desperate need of Him. It's what Jesus desired. It's what He values. It's other people. It's what He wants us to strive for. This is our goal. Now, for those of you, especially that have been elders or in elders in recent years, since we've been here as a pastoral family, last couple of years, we've been really honing in on our vision and what that looks like. From the Great Commission, there's some things, and we try to basically put it in a vision statement. And this is basically these five words that have really impacted me since I've been here. I felt just this like calling through even the Great Commission of what that actually looks. How can we put it in a tangible way? How can we visualize? And then how can we accomplish the Great Commission that God has for us? And here, these are these five words. This is our vision statement. Oftentimes, we came in, but maybe we didn't even realize it. This is actually in our hallway out here. You can take a look at it a little later on in a picture frame. And our vision statement is this: inviting people to experience Pastor Dave. Is that what it says? No, don't think that. Inviting people to experience our Sunday school teachers, elders, coordinators. Is that what it says? Listen, inviting people to experience Christ. He is the main person that we are living for. He is life in and of Himself. So we need to captivate that. But how in the world do we actually do this? I want us to break down this vision statement so that we can God can help us to implement this vision. What I can do to help this become a reality. And I want us to consider three strategic objectives about this vision that will help us hopefully obtain this calling. The first objective is this: be intentional. Be intentional. With the Great Commission, with sharing the gospel, with giving the good news, we have to be intentional. Actively pursuing others in community to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And whether this is your next door neighbor, whether it's a person down the street, maybe it's a person at Sharp Shopper or Walmart that you come in contact with, maybe it's even an Amish person, whoever it may be that God places in your path, we have to be intentional in sharing Christ with others. If given the opportunity to hear the gospel is important to you and to give it, it's not going to happen by chance. It's going to happen by choice. To invite someone to be a part of something big and something greater, we have to be deliberate. I want to share a video. It's very short, but there's a little bit of tension almost every single time that us as a individual, we want to either invite someone to church, talk about the relationship with Jesus or their non-existent relationship with Jesus, and there's always that little bit of tension. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, and we get uptight. I want you to notice almost how easy it is, and this video will convey this, hopefully being intentional.
Yeah, the pink bow is nice.
Yeah, pink was never my color when I was younger, but I'm starting to grow into it now.
They're beautiful, aren't they?
Absolutely. They remind me so much of you at that age.
Dad?
Yes, yeah, sweetheart?
Want to come with us to church on Sunday? I know what you think about religion, but I think you'd be surprised.
Okay.
Okay.
It's interesting to me, a lot of times, whether it's a father and a daughter relationship or someone in community, someone that we love or somebody that we care for, inviting is not difficult. It's just not. Sometimes we get dry of mouth, you know, it's like, and then we're like, trying to clear our throat, we're trying to invite somebody, and you get butterflies, and then you get a little fearful sometimes, like, okay, what are they going to think? And then what are they going to say? How are they going to respond to our invitation? That's really between them and God. We just have to be intentional in inviting people. There's a large percentage that people say that they would just come to church if they were invited. But we have to be intentional, folks. Do you realize this? If we were intentional in the course of a given year, if each one of us would invite one of our fellow classmates, invite one of our co-workers, invite one of our relatives or neighbors, the people that are unchurched, all these, do you realize that our capacity here this morning would just be filled? It would be overflowing. We'd have to bring in chairs. Now, some of us may be a little inconvenienced for that, but that's okay. I'd be like, oh, praise God. Can you imagine coming into Mountain View this morning and not finding a parking space? Some must be like, oh, Pastor Dave, that'd be horrible. What are we talking about? That would be great. That'd be wonderful. So what if you have to walk a little bit further? Man, we have to get more people. We have to get a golf cart and transport people. Praise the Lord. We have to be intentional about sharing Jesus. We are given many opportunities in the course of a given week to touch people with the gospel. Sometimes I think we make it a little too hard. Sometimes whenever people are searching for answers, sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to... Listen, just tell other people how you came to know Jesus. Church is a direct way to expose others to God and His salvation. There's some practical things that we can do to help people. Sometimes people are... They'll say they'll be at church or they'll be committed. One of the best things to do to help them keep accountable is just by reaching out to them and say, hey, listen, I can come and pick you up, or why don't you come and follow me down to Mountain View? If that's the case, whenever they pull in, be looking for them, encourage them. It's kind of a little intimidating to come to a new kind of sphere that maybe some people are unaware of. A lot of people ask me, well, what is your dress code? Well, I'll tell you. No, just come. That's what I invite people. Just come and be a part of what God is trying to do. Invite people. A lot of people are like, so how do I get a person out to church or out to, for ministry things? Invite people out to eat. Invite them over to your house afterwards. There's a number of different ways that we can touch and influence each other by. Sometimes fear keeps us from being intentional. I felt that before. But don't be fearful. Don't be intimidated. Sometimes I think it's maybe even we have to be accountable, because if we invite somebody else, if they don't exactly say that when they're going to be here, then we have to be here. We have to be accountable. We need to connect with other people. We need to influence other people. We need to be involved, because the greatest person and the greatest cause in all the world has been made known to us, His church. Therefore, may we begin or continue to be intentional to the one who has given us all good things, who has transformed us and our destiny. Be intentional. Secondly, very quickly this morning, be interested. Be interested. Notice in the second word there in our vision statement, inviting who? Oh, this is bad. Inviting people to experience Christ, inviting people, all right? People. In other words, we have to show an interest in other individuals. Care enough to reach out to them. Now some people say, well, this person is poor, or this person is rich. We tend to classify people and label people. Educated or uneducated, married or single, or that person is really hurting. Listen, one of the best things in our lives, whenever a person is hurting and whenever they're down and out and whenever they feel despondent or depressed, one of the greatest things you can do with them is to share Christ with them. This last past week, and God shows up in unexpected ways. I was getting a few groceries and odds and ends at Walmart. And as soon as I was coming out through the checkout line, I was almost done. Some family approached me about someone that had passed away in their family in recent days, and they just were looking for answers. And they asked me, hey, are you a pastor? I'm like, yes. And we had about a half-hour dialogue of just talking to them and trying to share hope with them. What if I would have said, you know what, I don't have time right now. Can I have your name, number? I'll get back with you at a later date. See, folks, whenever people like that, they're crying out, they're seeking answers in the present. They're sensitive to God then. We don't know what the future holds. Many are searching for answers, and we're simply uncaring to those people that are around us. We're so caught up in our world, and God, forgive us. We're so caught up in our world that our vision is impaired. It's almost like we have our heads looking down, and God says, look around you. The fields are ripe unto harvest. People are searching. They're looking for answers. You have the answer. You have me. You need to share me with other people. Folks, the end times are quickly approaching. Listen, Peter and John thought it was approaching. It is so clear to me in recent days. I've gotten these different things. This one was handed to me recently, and it's basically dealing with, I think it's almost like the wave of the future, even going towards, I would say, even the mark of the beast. They're coming up with this, basically, it's called a biometric hand scanner. You know how, like, you put your debit card or credit card, you know, in the side, you know, ring it or insert it therein? They're actually looking to get basically your hand off to the side, that it reads your palm. Isn't that interesting? I'm telling you, we're coming down to it. Signs of Israel. A lot of people say through church history, and I believe this to be true, keep your eye on Israel. God is drawing the nation of Israel back into it and of itself. There's so many things that are, the Muslims have been, of course, against the Jewish people for some time, but there seems to be a little bit of a breakthrough in some regions in that part of the world. You can read these things. You can come down here and read these a little bit later on. Cham Richmond, he's the director of the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, whose headquarters are near the Western Wall in the old city of Jerusalem. And these three words that he tells about the temple, the tabernacle, the third temple actually being built, this is his words. The temple is in waiting right now, the design of it. The blueprints are established, in other words. There is over 60 sacred temple vessels right now, from instruments to sacrificial worship. All these things that are right now, they are ready. The high priest's plate is actually prepared right now with the 12 stones of Israel on its breastplate. Musical instruments have been prepared. Do you realize that thousands of priestly garments right now are already made for the reinstitution of the tabernacle? I mean, that is like, it is coming, folks. Right now, there have been thousands of Jewish people that right now are being trained for the priesthood to be reinstated. In 2009, a field school was built in Jericho to prepare the priests, the Levites, for service of the temple. In 2010, uncut stones from the Dead Sea, specifically, they had to be stones that were not cut by metals or anything of that nature. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 5, this was part of the resurrection of the temple, that these four, basically, stones will be placed for the temple to be built upon. They have been found. They have, as it were, been found. And they're just waiting for the temple, the tabernacle, to be built. In 2015, this is just a little over 4 years ago, the first authentic Passover amongst the Levites were actually prepared in the nation of Israel. All of these things are telling me that the coming of Jesus is close, church family. We don't have a lot of time. We have to be intentional. We have to be interested in other people's lives. Do you realize this? Jesus could come before we say amen today. But until he comes back, may we be responsible in sharing the greatest blessing of our lives to other people. This last past week, my family and I had the opportunity just to talk around the devotions and things like that. By the way, if you have a family, do devotions with them. It's not always easy and it's not always convenient, but it's important to connect. And we were talking about the last times, and they came up with some interesting questions. they were talking about the rapture. And they said, well, if the rapture happens, and the person, and the mother knows, the expectant mother-to-be, they say the mother is like 9 months pregnant, will the baby go up to heaven, you know, with the mother? And they were saying, well, what if the mother doesn't know Jesus, what's going to happen to the baby? And we tried to answer those questions the best that we could, but we still lacked knowledge, because we don't know all those things, but we did say this: whatever God does, it'll be good and it'll be right. Folks, God has been so good to us. We have to spill out that love and that mercy and that compassion, that tenderness to other people who don't, and maybe aren't even interested, but maybe they're searching deep down, and some of the things that we will share with them will penetrate, and that God will use that to penetrate their hearts. some of us need to be rattled by this reality. For those of you that have heard the gospel maybe dozens of times, I'm really concerned. If the rapture would happen today, you may be the only person left. I don't want that to be the case. We live in uncertain times. I would not wait. If I didn't know Jesus Christ the Savior, I tell you, I would not wait. I would plead His grace and favor upon me, His blood upon me to save me. For those of us that do know Christ, I pray that we would love people and share the gospel with other people in the days ahead. Our time is so limited. Maybe we make the most use of it. Objective number three, not only be intentional, be interested. As you know, I like to be alliterated. La Costa laughs at me every time my wife does too, oftentimes with this. Thirdly is be invested. Be invested. Life lived without knowing Christ is just merely existing. We're just going through the motions. You may have experienced a lot of things in this life, some good, not so good. Yet there is no substitute for Christ. Do you realize this? No pastor can save you. We can tell you about the good news. No priest or pope, nobody can give to you what Jesus can. We have to be invested in that. That's why most of us are present here today. We're investing in what Christ wants us to do. We're invested in small groups and connecting with each other as often as we can. We're concerned with worship, and that's why we're here today. We celebrate Him. We give, we serve. We want to make a difference. We want to get outside of our comfort zone and minister to other people that are in desperate need of Him. We want to help advance the cause of Christ. We want to see His will be fulfilled. We invest in hopefully that which matters for all eternity, and that's making an impact upon others for the name and the cause and the person of Christ. In closing this morning, I read a quote recently that Steve Jobs, he was the co-founder of Apple. Today, Apple, I think it's worth about $900 billion. $900 billion. Can you imagine that? It's just hard, mind-blowing for me. And he said this years ago, if you are working on something exciting that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. I think about our vision, inviting people to experience Christ. I pray that that vision pulls us. That we wouldn't give up, that we wouldn't just settle being like everybody else, but the vision would so captivate our hearts, our minds, our eyes, that we would not be able to sleep. We would not be able to rest as God has put individuals upon our hearts to share with other people the gospel, to share with other people the good news, to share with other people Christ. If we're intentional, if we're interested, and if we're invested for Christ to minister to other people, we'll hit the bullseye. We'll hit our goal. We'll be able to hear those words, I believe, one day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right, it's you and I to decide. Time is limited. May we be sensitive to His leading. And doing all else that we possibly can do to follow Him. God, we thank You for today. God, I pray that we would be captivated by Your vision. God, help us not to write off people or prematurely judge them. God, I know I did that this last past week. Forgive me. God, it's the broken that You're calling to. People that are struggling or have struggled with drugs and with divorce, with alcohol, all the things that are just baggage and brokenness of our society today. God, would you use us this week to convey yourself? I don't know how God has worked on your heart this morning, but I know He's that big and He's that awesome that He's touching our hearts so that we would leave here differently, that we would be captivated by the vision. May His will be fulfilled in and through our lives.